Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the one just read, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Dear friends in Christ, these early chapters of the book of Acts show us the triumphal progress of the gospel. The word of the Lord is going forth from Jerusalem as was predicted in Old Testament days. The apostles are preaching with tremendous boldness and freedom. The Holy Spirit is confirming the message by the signs and the wonders, the message of our Lord's resurrection. The word of the Lord grows, and the word of the Lord keeps on growing. 3,000 baptized on Pentecost Day. A little later, it's reported that there were 5,000 men who came to Christ in addition to the women and children. The word is having free course and being preached, the joy and the edification of God's holy people. All of this is happening in the face of great opposition from the Jewish Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin has just arrested Peter and John and put them on trial, ordering them to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John refused to comply. Upon their release, they come back to the congregation, and then we find the whole congregation praising God, reciting the Psalms, seeing in this the fulfillment of the second Psalm, and asking God to supply his servants with courage to keep on speaking the word of the gospel. And God responds by an earthquake. The house in which they're all gathered shakes, and they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then just before we come to our text for this morning, we hear how the whole congregation was of one heart and one soul. Great grace was upon them all. A very significant little text. Great grace was upon them all. And this grace, we hear, inspires them all not to call anything his own. They hold everything in common. There is no one poor amongst them. They pool their resources for the sake of the poor. Those who had fields or homes sold them and brought them to the apostles' feet. And Barnabas, we hear, was one of these generous disciples, overwhelmed by that great grace. Things are going well for the church. And so now Satan tries a different tack. Having failed so far to destroy the church through its enemies from without, he tries to destroy it from within. A very similar thing had happened back in Old Testament times. You all know the story of Achan in Joshua's day. After the victory over Jericho, they're marching on Ai. They are defeated at Ai. And God establishes that it's because of the sin of this man Achan and his family. Achan had refused to follow God's command of devoting all the spoils of war to the Lord. He had coveted a beautiful mantle from China, some silver, 200 shekels of silver and a 50 shekel bar of gold. He coveted these things, he misappropriated them. And that same word, misappropriated, is used now in Acts of Ananias and Sapphira. And he had lied. He had covered up what he had done. God's judgment fell on Achan then and upon his whole family, his sons and his daughters, and even all his animals. Such disobedience, such corruption could not be tolerated within this nation as it continued to do God's important work. And now in the book of Acts, we see the new Israel, God's people, confronting the same danger of corruption from within. The father of lies has induced Ananias and Sapphira to follow Achan in his covetousness, his misappropriation, and above all in his lies and hypocrisy. It was an enormous internal threat to the well-being and integrity of the young church. Jesus had founded his church to be the pillar and bulwark of the truth. The gospel, the word of truth about our crucified and risen Saviour, was advancing in the world through the power of the Spirit of truth. But now Satan was trying to nip the work of the church, the growth of the church, in the bud, trying to destroy its integrity in that very crucial foundational period, to destroy it by greed, by misappropriation and hypocrisy. And so, filled with the Spirit, Peter confronts Ananias with his dishonesty. "You've lied," he says. "You've lied to the divine Holy Spirit. Don't think you're only trying to deceive human beings. You are lying to God. And if anyone tries to destroy God's temple, as St. Paul says, God will destroy him." Dear friends, this text also convicts us and the whole Church of God today, wherever and whenever we may be guilty of such hypocrisy, of doing things just because we're afraid of what it will look like if we don't. Whenever we want to make a show of our faith, of our spirituality, of our Christian life, whenever we pose as wonderful, pious Christians wearing our religion on our sleeve. Both laity and pastors, as we well know, can fall into that trap. We may be guilty of things like cheating on our taxes while pretending to be pious people. Or perhaps we're proud of our role and prestige as pastors. We pretend to be better than we really are. Hypocrisy, play-acting, lying, pretense that we are finer and more pious than we really are. This was the classic sin, as we all know, of the Pharisees. And this was Ananias and Sapphira's sin. This has been your sin and mine. In Paul's word to the Romans, "Let God be true and let every man be a liar," these words convict all of us. God's word convicts us all for our own lack of integrity and shows us our desperate need for the forgiveness of sins. Ananias and Sapphira, greedy, mean-spirited, hypocritical, lying people. What a contrast, what a splendid contrast we find in Barnabas, the son of encouragement, who comes to us in the words just before our text. Barnabas has been overwhelmed by the grace of God for sinners, all of us debtors to the tune of 10,000 talents, but freely and generously forgiven for Christ's sake. The Spirit of God had led Barnabas to think deeply about the tremendous grace of God. Barnabas doesn't wear his religion on his sleeve. No, for him it's a sincere faith of the heart, a genuinely humble spirit. His generosity to his neighbour and to his church is the natural outpouring of his gratitude and love for his Saviour. Great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon Barnabas. And so Barnabas, conscious of the grace and mercies of God, had presented his whole life as a living sacrifice to his God. And we all know what the consequences were in Barnabas's life and ministry. A few chapters later, we hear about Barnabas again. We hear about him rejoicing in the grace of God in the church at Antioch, encouraging the new Christians at Antioch to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, the text says, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. The next time we see Barnabas is on that first missionary journey with Paul. And we all know how at the end of that journey and before Paul could set out on his second journey, there was a great contention between Paul and Barnabas. Paul not wanting to take John Mark along because he was so disappointed with him, but Barnabas arguing that his young cousin should have a second chance. And we can just imagine the way Barnabas would have counseled with Mark and helped Mark to get over his great failure. comforting him with the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, putting fresh heart into him, assuring him that God could still use him and wanted to use him. And how richly that encouragement paid off, to the degree that by the end of Paul's ministry, we find him once again having a high regard for Mark. And we find Mark towards the end of Paul's life, whenever he wrote the gospel, we find Mark becoming the author of one of our gospels. The result of Mark's encouragement, of Barnabas's encouragement. Barnabas was a fine pastor, a man with a genuine interest in other people, a true son of encouragement. And why? Because he'd been overwhelmed by the grace of God. Great grace was upon him. Ananias and Sapphira fell into lying and hypocrisy because they had not fully grasped the gospel. They hadn't grasped the true wonder, the miracle of the gospel. Only the gospel can change, transform human hearts. Let's be careful that our preaching and teaching doesn't lead people in the direction of just a pious outward show, leading people to be satisfied with parading how spiritual they are. Let's be careful that our preaching and teaching leads to a genuine faith that really understands and is overwhelmed by God's amazing grace. In Jesus' name, Amen.